Welcome to worship, everyone. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas and the start to a wonderful year for all of you. It's so good to be back with you this morning. Today, we're going to start a new theme in our Believe series. It's the Fruit of the Spirit theme. We're going to be talking about the first fruit, which is love. And how can we possibly talk about the love of God in 20 minutes? But we're going to touch on it. And I hope that as we continue in song to worship the Lord, you can take these few moments to sink into God's love for you right now and recognize that it's not about us and how good we are, but it's about our God, whose love stretches to the highest heavens and who came down in Christ for us. So would you think about that and sort of lean into that reality as we continue to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's continue.
Let's pause for a moment of prayer and continue worship in that manner. The hymn, Dear God, the hymn proclaims, crown him the Lord of years, the potentate of time. As we have just started this new year, we acknowledge that time itself is a gift that you have created for us. We thank you for another year. We have seen how it has started. We don't know how it will end. We know that we will have challenges, but we don't know what they will all look like or how we will solve them. But we do know that we will need you, and we know that you will be there with us every step of the way. For Scripture says that you will never leave us or forsake us. And even if we are faithless, you will remain faithful, for you cannot deny yourself. How great is your faithfulness to us, O God. We ask you to faithfully guide this church. Please give your wisdom to the pastors and session members. Help this church focus our attention on the right projects and plans, so that we can be most effective in our mission of knowing Christ and making him known. We pray for the plans for Wednesday night recharge, for service worship, for Rancho Santa Marta, for the women's retreat. We pray that you will be working in all these plans so that those ministering and those being ministered to would sense your presence and be blessed. We especially pray for Marshall Steller and Lorraine Mancibo, who are in the hospital. We pray that they will feel better and be ever present with them, reminding them of your faithfulness, and bring them back home quickly. We thank you for the rains, for it provides much needed relief for what has been a parched land for many years. And while we need more rain, we also fear the possibilities of flooding. But as the hymn continues, you are creator of the rolling spheres, ineffably sublime. Even nature is under your control, so we ask for your gracious protection against problems that we cannot even begin to navigate on our own. Thank you for bringing Pastor Kim back from vacation safely. We pray that you would speak to us through her this morning. Guide her words, lead our thoughts, help us to leave this place on the right path towards you. And may Jesus go with us and behind us and before us. As the hymn concludes, all hail, Redeemer, hail, for thou hast died for me. Thy praise and glory shall not fail throughout eternity. And praising and remembering this Jesus, we now say the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul to the church in Galatia. Chapter 5, verses 16 to 25. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy. Hatred, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit.
About a year and a half ago, my son Chris and now daughter-in-law Catherine, or Katie as we call her, were married here in this sanctuary. And when they visited us this Christmas Eve, and they were standing up here reading together, they could barely read, they said, because they were so moved by the fact that it was the first time that they had stood up here since their wedding. And I know some of you were there, and thank you for supporting them. They told me again how much this church means to them, and your support and prayers, and this church is the way it stood alongside Chris, especially as he was growing up, means everything. And they now live in Pasadena, and Chris is a student at Fuller. He's becoming a clinical psychologist like Dad. But, you know, that's all very nice. But the thing that really annoys me is they have a whole mound of stuff in our back room that they have not taken with them to Pasadena. I mean, it's about this high, about this wide. And I keep saying, you know, all this stuff is in our back room. Could you please take it out? Because I'd like to use this room for other things. And they say, yeah, Mom, we'll take it. So annoying. They never do. But, and it's good stuff. I mean, there's clothing, and there's a toaster, and there's the crock pot or I mean, you know, stuff that they could use. But you know what they did take with them to Pasadena? I can't believe it. It was put in a Ziploc bag, sealed up tight, has an honorary position on a shelf in their bedroom. Gray kitty cat. Gray kitty cat. Gray kitty cat is a rag. A rag. With scratched out eyes and a threadbare ribbon, red ribbon hanging down limply from its very thin neck because the stuffing is all gone. And it's in Pasadena while all this other stuff is in my back room. This is a sad looking stuffy, but it was Chris's object of total devotion and affection growing up for years. He slept with Gray Kitty Cat. He ate with Gray Kitty Cat. He swung Gray Kitty Cat around by the tail. Gray Kitty Cat never complained. And Gray Kitty Cat came everywhere with us. And it didn't take long before he looks the way he does now. Because, again, Chris dragged him across the floor, pulled him through the dirt, flung him across, actually, the rocks at the beach to see if he could fly, which he didn't, and left him in the crevice of a rock, which we had to go get, and left him numerous times in hotel rooms and at restaurants and friends' houses. And Chris would always yell out with desperation from his car seat in the back seat, "Where's Gray Kitty Cat?" Not as we were leaving somewhere, but as we pulled triumphantly into the driveway of our home after a long journey. And we'd have to turn around and go back, sometimes many miles to wherever we'd been to retrieve this limp, worn-out thing that looked bad and smelled bad. I was afraid to wash it because then it might cease to exist. So Chris has this amazing immune system these days because he rarely gets sick because he dragged this germy cat around. But no one looking at Great Kitty Cat would ever think much of him. He wasn't a toy that had won the Parents' Choice Award, you know, toy for the year. He didn't have a lot of doodads and buttons and noisemakers on him that would catch your eye. He's limp, as I said, scratched up and threadbare. His value existed and still exists today, not because of qualities intrinsic to him, because Great Kitty Cat is such a great toy. His value exists for one reason and one reason alone. Christopher loved him. And it is that fact, and only that fact, that has preserved his life, that allowed him to go to Pasadena in a Ziploc bag while many other more shiny things were left behind. Now today, as I told you earlier, we're starting a new theme in our Believe series called The Fruit of the Spirit. That's what that sign says up there if you can't read it. And there are 9 fruit mentioned, and Todd read it to you before, but I'm going to read it again. And each week, if the schedule allows, we're going to go through a fruit. And today's fruit is the first one, which is the fruit love, fruit of the Spirit called love. But there's 9 of them in Scripture: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. And today we start out by talking about the fruit, as I said, love. And I asked Kiara, are you there still? Would you come up and put the love ornament on our fruit of the Spirit tree? By the time we're done, we'll have 9 fruit hanging up here. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Can you get it on there? Okay, very well done. Let's give her a hand for that. Very good. And Monica actually made this ornament, and she thought of a strawberry because it's kind of like a heart for love, all right? So we have our first fruit on the tree. And what I'm trying to say by sharing all that about Great Kitty Cat is that our value and our worth cannot be found anywhere else but in the truth that God loves us. We'd be a lost cause if it wasn't for God's life, love, right? Amen? 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 Amen. All right. I think we can all agree about that. But there's nothing about us, nothing we can do to impress or make ourselves worthy of God's love. We are full of warts and wrinkles, and this life has left a lot of us with scars and heartache, and some of us are weary and worn. We are sinners. We are unworthy and unfit to be God's children. There is nothing about us that is so great, except one thing. And that one thing is that we are loved by God. And until you know this, and you can hear it, but not know it deep inside, until you know this deep inside, and until you find your value in God's love, everything else will disappoint you. The late Brennan Manning wrote a book called The Ragamuffin Gospel. How many of you have heard about that book? Okay, some of you have. It's a wonderful book if you get a chance to take a look at it. But Brennan says that we are all ragamuffins, weary, and he even uses the word threadbare, unable to do anything to impress God. Why God loves us, that's a mystery. We don't understand that. That's the biggest mystery of all. Because we're broken as a human race, we're flawed, we can't even approximate holiness. We can't even come near to it. I actually had the honor and privilege to meet Brennan one day at Menlo Park. He sat next to me in worship, and he was going to be the speaker. And you know, everyone in Menlo Park would dress to the hilt. I mean, some of these people went to trunk sales. That's when you're too rich to go to the regular store. Or they go to Nordstrom's or something. And do you know how Brennan came to worship? He was dressed in dirty blue overalls with a denim jacket, with frayed square. Yeah, that's what he wore right there. He had, but it was actually overalls, and he had patches on his overalls. Do you know how he stood out there in Menlo Park? And he sat next to me. He looked so strange when he got up there to speak, but his message came through. We're frayed on the inside, he said. We may look great on the outside, but on the inside, we're just as shoddy and threadbare as we can be. But, he said, for some strange reason, Jesus loves us. In fact, he said, the cross was just a hint of the magnitude of God's love for us. Think about that. The cross was just a hint of the magnitude of God's love for us. He said the love of Jesus was the only reason he was standing there that day. And it was all that mattered to him anymore. He'd spent a year and a half drinking in the gutter, and then he had an experience of Jesus' love. Quite a dramatic story. The love of Jesus, that was Brennan's big theme. And it was Walt Gerber's big theme, too. He was my mentor and senior pastor at Menlo, and he was my friend. And both of them would get criticized. You know why? You know why they would get criticized? Because they would talk about the love of Jesus over and over, Sunday after Sunday. And for Brennan, it was more book after book. It was all about the love of Jesus. And actually, people would be deeply healed by hearing about Jesus' love for them again and again. Yet these two were often criticized. And I remember one elder in a session meeting saying, you know, Walt, we've heard enough about the love of Jesus. Let's move on to something else that is a little deeper. I remember that. Friends, there's nothing deeper than the love of Jesus. We can't go deeper than that. And as a very old song says, and these are the lyrics, some of you may know this song. If we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, if the sky was a paper, parchment, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to tell the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. St. Paul writes in describing God's love in Romans, I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Everything we say, folks, and pontificate about in the Christian church comes back to the powerful truth of God's love for us in Jesus. There is nothing more powerful and deep and transforming than this. Without the love of Jesus, folks, we're sunk. We don't measure up. Like Gray Kitty Cat, we are nothing in and of ourselves. And yet, although we have no value in and of our own self, God's love for us gives us our value. And when we surrender to God's love in Jesus Christ and let the Holy Spirit pour through us, we begin to love others as Christ has loved us. When Brennan sat down after this amazing talk at Menlo Park, he said to me, I can't do this anymore. And I said, why not? He said, I don't know these people. How can I tell them God loves them if I can't get to know them and love them too? If I can't help them and sit with them in their pain and go through life with them, I've got to stop doing these big talks, he said, and get small and do the one-on-one. You see, once you know you've been loved as a ragamuffin, or as a gray kitty cat, not because you're so great, but because God is so great, all your judgment of others goes by the wayside, and you just naturally start to love people the way Jesus does. And you don't have to try so hard. It becomes who you are as you let yourself be loved by God. And once you know it's not about you, it's about God's amazing love for you, what freedom that is. and it sets you free to love others. And when you've figured that out, you've got the concept of what the fruit of the Spirit is all about. Now, how many of you have a fruit tree in your yard? Ah, I'm so glad we're in California. This works. Okay. And you might have, who has a lemon tree? All right. Anybody have an orange tree? All right. Strawberry tree? Just kidding. All right. Seems like strawberries should grow on trees, doesn't it? But do you ever go outside and see that tree sweating and straining to produce their fruit? Do you ever hear the tree muttering in the wind, gosh, is this ever hard trying to pop these things out? Pop out these limes or lemons? Is this ever a workout trying to create my oranges? No, a fruit tree naturally produces fruit. Why? Because that is the nature of a fruit tree, based upon the fact that it's grounded and rooted in rich soil. God's love for us is that rich soil. Until we're rooted there first, until we really get our value in life from that, until we get that God's love is constant, unending, abundant, unconditional for us, our focus is going to stay on ourselves and how well we're measuring up. God's love is covenantal, not contractual. A contract says, you do your part, I'll do mine. It's conditional, right? God's covenant love for us is unconditional. So, folks, we ought to be the happiest people in the world, right? We're loved unconditionally. Or, if we don't want to be that, we can spend our lives trying to convince people that we are important enough, or successful enough, or smart enough, or talented enough, or attractive enough, or impressive enough to get love. It's your choice. Do you know what keeps good religious people from God? They aren't humble enough to get in the bread line and receive God's Holy Spirit handout. Sometimes good religious people want their religiosity, their faith, to be all about them. And the plain and simple truth is, it isn't. I'm sorry. That's not the arrangement. That's not how God has worked it out. This is love, says 1 John. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. Again, not about us. It's very clear here. It's about who God is. Taking initiative to love us first while we were messed up, flunking out of life, caught in the clutches of death as sinners, God came and loved us in Jesus. That's why these 9 qualities are called the fruit of the not of the loom, did somebody say that? And not of human effort and performance, but of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the life of God in you, right? So rather than seeing this list of 9 fruit as we start this, that we will be focusing on as a to-do list that we must try hard to comply with, I'd rather have you think about it this way, that these fruit of the Spirit represent the personality, the characteristics of God. Ever wonder what Jesus was like? Read the list of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, because it says that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. And the wonderful thing is God gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit too, just like gave it to Jesus. God gives us the Holy Spirit to live in us, and that's how we become like Jesus. Again, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's a natural outflow of the work of God's grace in us, as long as we're willing to ask for the Holy Spirit to get in the bread line and receive the handout, okay, of the Holy Spirit. So the first step is surrender. You've got to say, Lord, I can't be like Jesus. What an impossible task. Please, you do what I can't do through me. Do you want to know what my favorite scripture is in the whole Bible? It's God saying this. He, God, said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest upon me. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I want to close with a story today about a father-son team that used to compete in the Boston Marathon. When I lived in Boston, I saw this duo, and I was reminded of this story when I recently heard that Joy Eberts has qualified for the Boston Marathon. Joy, would you stand up? Thank you. Stand up. So you can congratulate her afterwards. It's very hard to qualify for this race. And when I heard that, Karen Clark told me about it, because Karen runs and Joy runs, and I remember this story. Rick and Dick Hoyt were a team for a long time, competing in triathlons together. Ricky, Dick's son, had cerebral palsy, born with the umbilical cord around his neck. And when they took Rick to the doctor told Dick, the father, forget about your son. He'll never amount to more than a vegetable. Put him away in an institution. But Dick and his wife refused to give up on their son, and they committed to raising him like any other human being. They could tell Ricky, they called him Ricky, was intelligent because of his eyes. They could see it in his eyes. They felt that he listened when they talked to him. By looking at his eyes, they could tell that. So they managed to raise some money to get him a computer built by some Tufts University engineers so he could communicate with head motion. And the first day they got it, a bunch of people came over to the house to see what Ricky's first words would be. And his mom thought they might be, I love you, Mom. And his dad thought maybe it would just be, hi, Dad. Love you, Dad. But the Boston Bruins were going for the Stanley Cup at that time, and Rick's first words ever on that screen were, go Bruins. And that's when they knew that Rick loved sports and had been following the games when they hadn't even realized it. And then one day Rick heard about a charity run for a paralyzed athlete, somewhat like himself, and Rick said, Dad, can we run in that race? We've got to do something for that athlete. And Rick's dad said, yes, I'll push you in your wheelchair. And they ran all 5 miles. And when they got home, Rick looked at his dad and said, Dad, when I'm with you and we're running, it feels like my disability disappears. And Dick said that was a powerful message for him, that his son had said that to him. And that was the beginning. Dick began to train. The dad began to train and get into shape for his son Rick, and they became known as the Hoyt team from Massachusetts. And as I said, I actually saw them competing in the Boston Marathon many years ago. It was very moving. And they ran for years continuously in marathon races. And if they weren't in a marathon, they were in a triathlon together. And they've climbed mounts together, and they once trekked 3,735 miles across America together. Rick's dad, for 25 years, pulled his son across the country and over hundreds of finish lines. I loan him my arms and legs, the dad says, and together as a team, we go faster. And some people have told Dick, you know, if you just ran alone, you'd win all kinds of races, because often the two of them, father and son, together come out in the top quarter of the competitions that they're in. But Dick would never dream of leaving his son behind, because his love for his son is what it's all about. Do you get the connection here? That just as Dick loans his son his arms and legs, so God loans us the Holy Spirit, his power to do what we cannot do on our own, to bear the fruit of the Spirit for his glory and honor, so that when we cross that finish line of this life, we will do so in victory and in joy. Let us pray together. Lord God, thank you so much for giving us the gift of yourself to do what we cannot do on our own. What an amazing God you are, and what love you have for us, that you would do this for us. Lord, help us to lean into your love this week, to allow your Holy Spirit to flow through us, that many will know we are Christians because of your love in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us in worship this morning. May you go out in the love of God, that love from which nothing can separate us. May you be filled with the Holy Spirit. May you walk and keep in step with that Spirit. And may you know that you are loved beyond your wildest dreams and find your worth in that truth. May the God of all peace, who came in Jesus Christ, bless you and keep you. Amen.